Hebrews chapter 11, look please at verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And what follows in the chapter is a list of the elders that obtained a good report. But look please at verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Watch this. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Think about that for just a moment. He being dead yet speaketh. Well, Abel was slain and he was physically dead. His lungs no longer worked. His voice no longer was audible. The air didn't go through his voice box. He no longer used his lips, his mouth. But yet, the word that's used in the verse is witness. His life and even his passing communicates many things. I ask you to consider that. He is the first individual in the Bible martyred for his faith. And if you remember, Cain's offering was not acceptable to God. Abel's was. Cain was angry at God initially. When you read Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says Cain talked with Abel and then Cain slew him. So Abel's life speaks, and I just ask you to consider that. By it, he being dead yet speaketh. Well, we had several names just now. There are so many more that could be added to that. And their lives and even their deaths communicate so much, so much. Here in America, we have cemeteries with markers, graves of fallen soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen, Marines, men and women. But then we have them throughout the world as well. In Flanders Fields in Belgium, 6 acres, and there are 368 graves there, Americans that gave their lives in battle. The Normandy American Cemetery, it is 172 acres, and there are the graves of 9,387 Americans that gave their lives in the liberation of France. The Netherlands American Cemetery, it's 65 acres, and there are graves there, 8,301. The Manila American Cemetery, it's a large cemetery, it's 152 acres, and it has the graves of 17,201 Americans who gave their lives in the liberation of the Philippines. We had a missions conference 2 weeks ago, and it's always like this. We have Filipinos frequently, and this year Brother Ryan was talking with me about it. He knows exactly where that cemetery is, and he is grateful for the fact that the Philippines were liberated. But in Manila, 17,201 graves. The North African American Cemetery, it is 27 acres, and there are in that cemetery 2,841 graves marking the lives of Americans who died in the service of their country, and I may say also in the liberation of others. And there's so many more. Throughout the world, there are approximately 130,000 American servicemen and women who are buried abroad. Well, being dead, they speak. Their death says something. Their lives say something. He being dead yet speaketh. I ask you to think about those that have given their lives in the defense of our nation, in the liberation of others. And what do they say? What does their commitment say? What does their sacrifice say? What do they say? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, how I thank you for this evening. How I thank you for my church family. Thank you for visitors that join us. But Father, I thank you for the fellowship of the brethren. I thank you for worship. And I ask you tonight, Father, please speak to our hearts. Help us to ponder these things and help us to examine ourselves. I ask in my Savior's name, amen and amen. He being dead yet speaketh. Abel, his death even says something. It says testifying of his gifts. I think I said earlier he obtained witness. And then also it says God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. All right, those men and women that have given their lives for the defense of our nation, the liberation of others, standing for American principles, what do they say? What do they say? Well, they say something about affection, and I would ask this question, what do you love? Who do you love? How much do you love? Affection. Says much about affection. And John 15:13, I've quoted it and misquoted it several times today. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater demonstration of love. There couldn't be. What more could anybody do? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Let me ask you, how much do you love your friends? My Savior, He loved me, He loved you, He loved His friends enough to lay down His life. How much do you love them? How much do you love them? Ephesians 5:25, husbands, think about this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. How much do you love your wife? I don't have a matching verse, but I'd say, ladies, how much do you love your husbands? In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, our Lord answers a question, which is the greatest commandment? He quotes from Deuteronomy 6:4. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. How much do you love your Lord? Do you know Him tonight? If you know Him, how much do you love Him? With all your heart? All your heart? How much do you love your family? How much do you love your country? How much do you love God? My generation is called the baby boomers, and my generation historically is the me generation. According to Time magazine, the baby boomers, we're the me generation. And I'll tell you why. I know why. The generation before us, my father's generation, they came through the Depression. They came through the bad old days. And the 50s were good days. They were really good days in so many ways. They weren't perfect, but they were good days, and they were prosperous times. And my parents and the people of that generation, they said, we don't want our children to go through what we went through, and we don't want them to do without. Well, they overcorrected. At least in my life they did, because they were really too good to me. But I love them and appreciate them so very much for that. But my generation is called the me generation. We're focused on ourselves. And according to Time magazine, my generation raised up the me generation. And throughout America today, we are so frequently, so commonly a selfish people. Do you have the latest thing? Do you have what someone else has? Are you grateful for what you have? Are you making what you're thankful for? You know, all those things. It's all about me in this old world today. You deserve a break today and all those things. Well, wait a minute. He being dead yet speaketh. Those that gave their lives, they sacrificed and they said, I love country more than life. I love my family and my people more than life itself. And for many that know God, I love God more than I love life itself. Your affection. They being dead yet speak. What do they say? Well, they say, what do you love? Who do you love? How much do you love? Affection. But they also speak of conviction. Conviction. What do you really believe? What do you really believe? I'll tell you what's amazing to me. We are a people here of conviction. Doctrinally, I have strong convictions. I trust that you do as well. Doctrinally, I have strong convictions. In practice, I have strong convictions. Politically, I have strong convictions. But you know what happens? Frequently, people leave here and they go to places where the convictions are not the same. And I don't get it. I can't adjust my convictions to another congregation. I can't do that. My convictions are my convictions. And for me, the things that I believe, the things that my strong convictions, I'm not talking about preferences, my strong convictions, they are non-negotiable. And it doesn't matter who agrees with me or who does not. It doesn't matter if I'm in the majority or the minority. My convictions are non-negotiable. Let me ask you this. What is for you non-negotiable? Abel's conviction. Abel gave a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice that pleased God. He sacrificed a lamb, and that demonstrates the grace of God. On the other hand, Cain offered his produce. Now, there's a lot to be said for farming and for agriculture and for produce, but it's not an acceptable gift to God, and here's why. in that circumstance is not acceptable because it illustrates the works of Cain. I did this, I grew this, I'm going to give it to God. Now, saying that, I know there are some first fruit offerings under the law, but in regard to Cain and Abel, Cain's offering, it illustrated his good works. And for Abel was not a man. He was not ecumenical. He didn't go along with that. And in chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 8, Cain talked with Abel. We're not told what they talked about. But Cain was, he was upset with Abel simply because of Abel's convictions, and he slew Abel. In the world today, it's thought that change is always good. Let me ask you this, is change always progress? Is modern philosophy better than traditional moral values? Is truth better than anything less? Does the end really justify the means? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, very familiar passage, says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And then there's a wonderful list of attributes that you and I should practice in our lives. But I want you to notice, top of that list is virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, that's moral purity. That's good morals. That's integrity. That's a work ethic. That's honesty. Add to your faith virtue. Convictions. What do you really believe? What about your country? What do you believe about your country? What do you know about the founding principles? What do you know about the reason that America has become the most powerful nation on the planet, the most prosperous nation? Do you understand those things? I hope you do. We have a generation today, and it is incredible. They're being taught lies about our history. Revisionist history is not a revision of history. These are lies. And they're being taught in so many ways to hate their country. Listen, if you leave here, where are you going to go? If America becomes just another third world nation, there won't be an America to flee and to go to. If America becomes less than it is, less than its principles dictate, then the whole world will suffer. It will suffer. I listed earlier, just a few minutes ago, several cemeteries throughout the world. You look at those. In every circumstance, America was not a conqueror. America was not an empire builder. America was a liberator in every single one. Patrick Henry was surely known for his convictions. March 23rd, 1775, gentlemen, men may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would you have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of change and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Now that's a powerful conviction. They being dead, Cain being dead, by it being dead yet speaketh, those that have sacrificed their lives, what do they say? They speak to you about affection. What do you really love? They speak to you about conviction. What do you really believe and what do you hold dear? And for what are you willing to stand, even to stand alone if necessary? But then they also speak to you about motivation. They say, if I can do it, you can do it. They sacrifice their lives for our principles, for our interest, for our people. The least we can do is maintain that which they paid that great price. Motivation. They gave their lives. You and I have not been called upon to do that. But I say to you again, we can live for our Lord. We can live those principles, and we must maintain them. We must be willing to defend them. We must continue. Philippians 4, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, do. The things you've seen in me, do. The things that those that have sacrificed say, you and I should practice those things. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, as Paul writes young Timothy, he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Being dead yet speaketh. What do they say? What do they say? They address affection. What do you love? They address conviction. What do you believe? They address motivation. What will you do? Will you continue? Will you maintain that which they sacrifice their lives? I call your attention again to Flanders Fields and ask you to think about the last verse. There's only three verses. The last verse is about motivation. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Now that last verse is about motivation. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. Think about the many Americans, hundreds of thousands, that have given their lives in the defense of our principles, our people, our interests. If we forsake, if we let go that which they died to protect, we don't honor them at all. We spit on their graves. Motivation. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Those that have sacrificed everything for our nation, in the process of that great act of bravery, they speak. And there's so much more perhaps could be said, but they speak about affection. What do you love? How much do you love? What are you willing to do? What do you believe? How strong are your convictions? As Christians, we are people of strong convictions. As Bible believers, we are people of strong convictions. But as Americans, we ought to be a people who love country and have strong convictions about our principles, because our principles are what have made possible the blessings that we enjoy. American exceptionalism, it's not about our people, it's not about our real estate, it's not about our wealth or our prosperity or even our military. It's about our principles. And our principles have separated us from the rest of the world and given us so many wonderful benefits. Do you know about that? What are your convictions about American principles? And what's your motivation? Are you willing to continue to fight the good fight of faith? Thank you so much for being attentive. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed. What the Lord ask of you tonight? He being dead yet speaketh, these many individuals that have given their lives, they say so much in that great act. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But really, John 15:13 is about our Lord. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself for you and for me. There's no greater demonstration of love. And by that act, he communicated his love to you, and he offers you the gift of God, eternal life. Have you received that? If not, won't you trust him? Won't you believe on him? Won't you get that settled? You say, that is my testimony. Well, I say to you again, the faith of our Savior, really, it is worth dying for if required, but it's certainly worth living for. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for a day set aside simply as a memorial. I know we enjoy vacation and all those things, but I thank you for the memory of these many individuals who have paid the ultimate price for the lives that we enjoy. My Father, help us never to forget. Help us to never take these things for granted. Help us always to support our military, our law enforcement, our emergency medical people. I ask you to help us, dear Father, to be mindful of all this. Help us to be responsible for ourselves. Help us to be self-governing. Help us, Father, to serve you well and to endeavor with the time and the talent and the resources we have to make a difference in this old world for our Savior. I ask you now, my Lord, to please bless this time of prayer and invitation. And this I ask in my Savior's name. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed, as our pianist plays softly a hymn of invitation. Let's use this time to pray. You say, I may not have a petition at this moment. Why don't you just thank God for those many individuals that gave so much and those many families that have suffered so greatly?